My name is August Rosenthal, and I'll be reading 11 Girls by David Ebenbach.
11 girls? He said.
11, said Stacy. 11 girls here think you're cute. Josh leaned back against the wooden stall wall. They were in the stables. He was taking a break from giving kids pony rides, and Stacy, having somehow escaped in full colonial-era dress from the soft pretzel booth.
Huh,
he said. This was the summer Josh was 15 years old, and he was still getting used to the idea that cute was a word that anybody could ever possibly think to apply to him. The first jolt happened when he had just started working at Independence Village. He was standing, fanning himself with his tricorn hat at the first post of the Paul Revere pony track, and a girl that wasn't quite a teenager ran up and snapped a picture of him and ran off. Liron, one of his favorite guys at the pony track, had just laughed and whistled. It was baffling. At school, nobody looked twice at Josh. Maybe his awkwardness had just been a long, long phase, or maybe that summer he was growing out of it. Or maybe it was just the colonial gear.
Don't you want to guess who?
Stacy said. Now that was a delicate thing. Josh was pretty sure that Stacy was one of the 11, and that so was her sister. And both of them were girls that made him feel a little uncomfortable. One of them is me, Stacy said, expressionless. Plus, my sister thinks you're cute, too.
Wow, he said.
That's really nice. He looked around the stall. A hay, full water bucket, like maybe he'd find the thing he should say next. Luckily, she just kept going. And there are 9 others. You have to guess. Josh almost said Teresa, as casually as possible, but he couldn't get the name up out of his throat. Teresa Maggiotti, who gave pony rides like him, was an unbelievable girl. A girl he actually had trouble believing existed. She had this tan skin and blue eyes and black curly hair, and when she walked a pony ahead of him on the circular track, all he could do, even though it made him feel nervous and guilty to do it, was watch her walk. Watch the way one butt cheek firmed up, and then the other, and then the first one again. And she was always, always smiling. He couldn't handle the idea that she might be one of the 11. And he couldn't handle the idea that she wasn't. He said, Vicky, maybe. Stacy nodded, grinned. Yep, Vicky. Josh already knew that. Vicky had looked his number up in the phone book and had called to ask him if he wanted to go to this church dance. And because nobody had ever asked him out before, and probably also because he thought Vicky was not very attractive, he somehow found himself asking the clarifying question, with you? It was awful. Every time he saw her at Independence Village, he wanted to stab himself to death with his fake bayonet. Do you want a hint? Stacy said. Okay. Christina does, she said. And Debbie. Josh had never really thought about either of those girls in a dating kind of way. They both worked in the tavern area. He'd only seen them a couple of times. I mean, it was interesting news. Frightening, yeah. But also interesting. Josh! Rick yelled from outside. He was the supervisor and the master of yelling in a way that sounded cheerful to customers, but unmistakably like trouble to employees. There are rides to give! I'd better go, Josh said to Stacy. She nodded and turned to leave the stable from the back end. Wait, he said. Is Teresa one of them? Stacy blinked an enormous blink behind her glasses. If she thinks you're cute, she didn't tell me. You want me to ask? No, he said. No, that's okay, thanks. No. That afternoon, The families just kept coming. At the pony track, it was one kid after the next, until it felt like the bottom of Josh's feet had been pounded with rocks. Still, that day he was right behind Teresa in the rotation, and so he got to watch her walk all afternoon long. Somehow Stacy's list seemed like a good omen, even if Teresa wasn't on it. If that many girls thought he was cute, maybe she did too, and just kept it to herself. Liron was right behind him, and when they tied their ponies off to give them a rest, he said, "Your eyes are gonna fall out of your damn head, Smooth. When you gonna call her?"
"Right," Josh said.
"Pussy, pussy, pussy," Liron said. Josh didn't know whether he was talking about him or what he was missing out on, or both. Every day, Stacy filled out the list for him a little more. "Maya thinks you're cute. She said she thinks it abstractly, though. I wasn't even sure whether to count her.
Jen, though, Jen really likes you," Stacy said. "Not abstractly. She said you were gorgeous."
Josh called Teresa Maggiotti on Sunday night. He had worked that day, and she hadn't. Somehow that provoked him. She sounded very happy to hear from him. "Josh," she said, "that's so sweet of you to call." "Sure," he said, trying to breathe in and out steadily. 11 girls thought he was cute. "It's raining today," he said.
"I know," she said, "but at least it's not so hot." It was true. It wasn't hot.
His heart was punching him on the inside. Josh started talking. First, he ran through a couple of small talk things about working at Independence Village. Did she know they were going to build a bell barn? Then he just came out with it. "I was wondering if you would want to go out with me sometime." Teresa Maggiotti was maybe the most gracious rejector he would ever encounter.
"Oh, Josh," she said, "I would love to, but wow. Unfortunately, I already have a boyfriend." Her voice made it sound like she was crushed with the disappointment of not being able to say yes. And so as he tumbled his way out of the rest of the conversation, he felt strangely buoyed. He got off the phone and thought, she would love to. The further he got from the phone call, though, the more the magic wore off. Teresa was not one of the 11 girls. Not even in spirit. It wasn't too awkward with Teresa at work. Really, she was as sweet to Josh as ever. No more, but no less, either. The only difference was that it felt more wrong than ever to watch her walking her ponies. Then, one morning, he was going by Declaration Square. And even though they weren't open yet, Maya was already reciting. When there were no customers, and sometimes when there were some, she liked to swap out a word here or a word there so that the declaration was just a little different. "We hold these truths to be shelf elephant," for example. This time, Josh stopped and listened to her for a while. She fixed him with her eyes and orated extra dramatically. "We mutually pledge to each other our chives, our urchins, and our sacred entourage," she said. "You're really good," he said when she was done.
"Thank you," she said, bowing. "I'm a student of the craft." Josh nodded.
"Do you want to go out sometime?"
The two of them went to the movies, way out on the main line. When he found Maya, she was in front of the theater waiting for him. It was a little strange to see her in a skirt and nice tank top instead of looking like the cousin of Betsy Ross. Josh got used to it after a second, though, and he saw that she was good-looking in a way that wasn't so abstract when you got down to it.
"You look nice," he said.
"As do you," she said, and she put out her arm for him to take. He really liked that. This was his first date ever, at 15 years of age, and it was a stylish way to start things off. Josh bought the food, the tickets, the drinks, and she accepted them all with real apparent satisfaction. Then they got their seats and tried to figure out something to talk about and were probably both relieved when the lights went down and the preview started up. Then they watched A Fish Called Wanda, which was not especially romantic, particularly the French fries and the nose part. He did put his arm around her and eventually became excruciatingly painful for his arm, but he kept it there all the while and was proud of himself for it. Afterward, they got ice cream next door to the theater and tried to think of things to talk about again. He had no template in his mind for what happened on dates. "Oh," Maya said at one point. And then she dug around in her bag and pulled out a wallet-sized photo of herself and slid it across the table to him. "You should have this," she said. "I forgot to tell you I'm going away to drama camp for a month, and it'll be nice for you to have a picture of me." "Wow," he said. "Thanks, I wish I had one for you." "Don't worry," she said, looking at him intensely. "I'll remember you." When she kissed him a moment later, she tasted like minty ice cream and like the pure terror that was coursing all through him. There was no time for another date before Maya left for drama camp, but Josh started back to his job with a swagger. It was a literal swagger, in fact. On the way to Independence Village one morning, Liron asked him why he was walking like that. Liron's joy when Josh told him was huge. He hugged Josh in the street and pounded his back. "My boy's becoming a man." Josh walked through Independence Village with the gravity of a young man who now had a girlfriend. He allowed word to spread. Teresa even asked him about it one day. "I hear you're dating Maya," she said. "That is so sweet." "Thanks," he said. "It's great. It's great having someone to date, isn't it?" "Yeah," she said. And Josh almost told her he'd give up Maya in a heartbeat if Teresa was interested in him now, but he clamped down on that and just stood there nodding with her, their hands on their grown-up hips. Of course, it didn't last. One day, Josh came home and found a letter from Maya in his mail slot, and she said all kinds of things about drama camp, and at the end she wrote, "I've been realizing that in order to be with someone, I need to like them and love them, and I need to be in love with them too. Josh, I definitely like you, and I may even love you, but I'm not in love with you. I hope you can understand that." It was an astounding letter. And he couldn't decide whether she was crazy or whether she was a person of tremendous emotional sophistication. The next day, Liron assured him that the answer was crazy. Mostly, the summer was about walking that circular pony track, giving kid after kid a ride on these listless ponies that didn't give a damn whether they were living in the United States or the extended British Empire. Josh got back into watching Teresa walk because he was weak-willed. And because her butt was the only interesting thing happening in the whole of Independence Village. When she wasn't around, though, he just walked and walked and thought about the rapidly approaching end of summer, about the inevitable return to school. I mean, this had been the summer of his newfound cuteness, and the big question was whether it would extend to his school life. None of the girls on Stacy's list went to his school. But maybe they were just the advance guard, the first wave of girls who were coming around to the idea of Josh. Or maybe he'd take his colonial-era gear off and everybody would get back to ignoring him. There was no way to know. There was, in fact, nothing to do but walk the pony track at his slow, steady pace. A pace that was slow and steady because it was the result of two opposing feelings. On the one hand was the intense fear of what he was walking toward. And on the other, just a little bit stronger, was his unwillingness to be kept from it. Так я стал звездою рок-н-ролла.